Our lesson this evening will be in the body of our sermon. If you were looking for hope, what would it be? How would you describe it? What would it look like? Well, I guess it may depend on the situation that you're in. If you were pulled over by the police, you may hope that you wouldn't get a ticket. If you got a phone call in the middle of the night, you may hope that it's not an emergency. So what situation were these Israelites in at this time? Well, they were about to go into exile. In fact, some of them had already been taken. And this is what God says through the prophet Jeremiah. In the opening verse, God says this in Jeremiah 31:15. A voice is heard in Ramah. Now Ramah was a town that was just a little bit north of Jerusalem, right on the border between the two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. And so there's this voice that's crying out central so that everyone can hear. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. See, as they were going into exile, some of the people were slaughtered. If you were there living in that area at that time, you could be one of three different options. You could either be dead, or you would be taken to be in exile, to live far away in Babylon, or you'd be left to watch all of the disaster unfold. It would be as if an Assyrian rebel, one of the ISIS members, came over here and went into your house in the middle of the night and killed everybody except for you. And then before they were going to take you over to Assyria, they would drive you by the church, and the last thing that you would see is Pastor Furch out in the lawn dead and the church engulfed in flames. There would be no more returning. No more work. No more family. Life as you know it would be done. That's what it was like to be in Israel at this point in time. Why? What brought them to this point? What happened to make such a disaster, a calamity, fall on God's own people? Well, it was themselves. It was their very own rebellion. You see, God was their first and only true love, yet they were forsaking their true love for worthless idols. This is how God described it in the beginning of Jeremiah in chapters 2 and 7. He says, "What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. Will you steal and murder and commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods that you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, 'Oh, we are safe, safe to do these detestable things.'" You see, they heap this destruction on their own heads for abandoning God. So that was their situation. Now, what's our situation? No, we're not being dragged off to a distant land. We're not seeing our loved ones murdered in front of our faces. So what is our situation? Maybe you've got some health issues. You can't even count the amount of medications that you're taking in two hands. And the amount of doctors that you have to see and how often you're seeing them. Or maybe it's work that's extremely difficult. That person that you work with that's really hard to forgive. And the person that's hard to be with and be a Christian at the same time. Or is it your family? Did your kids turn out exactly as you hoped they would? Are your parents coming down a little bit too hard? Are you growing a little bit distant from your spouse? A little more than you ever hoped? Did you say some things that you wish you would not have? And although these may present situations in our life that seem kind of hopeless, this really isn't the worst. You see, this is our real situation. God hates you. No, really? Yes, Pastor, is that, are you telling me the truth? You know, this seems kind of harsh. How can you say that to me? Well, you just read the Bible. What does it say about those people who break God's law? Well, I thought God said in His Word, He hates the sin and not the sinner, right? But what did God say about those people who were living in that time? Back in the beginning of Jeremiah that I read. He called them worthless. The people became worthless for the things that they were doing. This is our situation. What brought us to this point? Well, it's our sins. You knew that answer. I know that answer. I know my sins. And you know yours. And we like to come up with different excuses, different explanations for them. Well, at least I'm not as bad as that guy. At least I'm not going around murdering people or killing them or committing adultery or doing this. Or, really, come on, everybody sins. How can you expect perfection, God? But let's stop making excuses and call it what it is. Sin is sin. And God hates sin. And God hates sinners. Do you feel a need of hope? The Ephraimites realized their situation, their need for hope. And they reached out to the only one who could give hope, the judge himself, to God. This is what the Ephraimites said in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 31. You disciplined me like an unruly calf. This is like that untamed dog or cat that gets disciplined. It says, you disciplined me like an unruly calf, and I have been disciplined. Restore me, and I will return, because you are the Lord my God. After I strayed, I repented. After I came to understand, I beat my breast. I was ashamed and humiliated because I bore the disgrace of my youth. Well, they realized the hope that they needed, and they cried out to God. So what kind of hope do you want? What kind of hope do you expect? Well, certainly we could have hope that we could have restoration in those things we talked about, like family and work and home and health. But really, if our hope was put into restoration in those things, it would all be temporary. No, the hope that God has is better than that. This is the hope that God has. This is when He spoke to Rachel after she was crying out. He says, "Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord." They, meaning those children who were no more, they will return from the land of the enemy. So there is hope for your future, declares the Lord. Your children will return to their own land. You see, these children who were no more, who were either dead or carried off or who lost their incomplete livelihood in the destruction, they had hope. They had hope in restoration that God would bring peace. This is the hope that God has for you. This is what He told those Ephraimites after they confessed their sins. It's what He says in verse 20. Is not Ephraim my dear son, the child in whom I delight? Though I often speak against him, I still remember him. Therefore my heart yearns for him, and I have great compassion for him, declares the Lord. See, our God has compassion on us. He has mercy when we are sinners. Now, how would He prove that this hope was really sure? How would He go about showing these people that this is a reality? Well, God would have to do something that he has never done before. This is what he says in verse 22. The Lord will create a new thing on earth. A woman will surround a man. You see, God would come down here and do something he has never done before. He would take on flesh and become one of us. He would go through those pains and sufferings that we go through. You see, he would be surrounded by a woman. The virgin would be with child and would give birth to a son. And they would call him Jesus. Jesus, because not that he would come and condemn us for our sins, but that he would save us. He would save us from our sins. So now we're not left reaching and groping and grasping for some sort of hope. But God gives us hope by coming down to us. That is what we celebrate at Christmas. That is the hope that God gives us. That now, because of Christ, he looks at you and he doesn't say, I hate you. He says, I love you. I love you because what Christ has done for you. I love you because when I look at you, I see perfection and holiness and purity. I see my child. That is your hope. This is the hope that we carry on as we wait for him. This is what God said at the end. It's not an if, it's a when. In verse 23 and 25, when I bring them back, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. So if you were looking for hope, what would it look like? How would you describe it? Well, given our situation, God gave us exactly what we needed. He gave us hope through Christ, hope in restoration, hope in peace, hope in the forgiveness of sins, and hope that he will come and he will take us home. Amen.